If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
All right, this is a disturbing one, by the way. If you have children, are sensitive to that topic or trafficking, this is quite a story. A story that was unfolding right underneath everyone's eyes. In a place many would not suspect. In the comment section, I want to hear your thoughts on this one and how it even got here. Press subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast and check us out on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. So picture this. It's a hot June morning in Columbus Junction, Iowa. Population 2,300 people. And suddenly there are more cop cars than a donut shop parking lot at a shift change. We're talking multiple agencies rolling up in what looks like a regular Bible camp for kids. What could possibly be going wrong there, right? Nothing, huh? Except plot twist, they're not there for a prayer circle. They're executing a search warrant as part of a human trafficking investigation, and before the dust settles, they're loading 88 children into school buses like the world's most depressing field trip. Welcome to the absolutely wild story of the Shekinah Glory Camp Raid, where addiction, recovery meets alleged child endangerment, meets the whole lot of questions about what the hell was going on in rural Iowa. So here's the thing about Columbus Junction that makes the story even more bizarre. This tiny town in Iowa has become home to one of the largest Burmese refugee populations in America. We're talking about 25% of the town being refugees from Myanmar, mostly Chin people who fled religious persecution back home. They came here because starting around 2009, Tyson Foods, yes, the chicken people, actively recruited them to work in their massive meatpacking plant. The company literally went to Illinois, grabbed 400 workers, and said, "Hey, Want to move to Iowa and process pork for $13 an hour? And honestly, for people fleeing a military dictatorship, that probably sounded pretty good. Now enter the Kingdom Ministry of Rehabilitation and Recreation. That sounds lovely, doesn't it? Founded in 2018 by some local Burmese pastors who apparently looked at their community and thought, you know what would solve addiction problems here? A religious camp where we mix kids and adults together in mobile homes. The ministry, run by David Kung Newham and his family, claims they're helping people break free from drugs and alcohol through the power of prayer and presumably whatever was happening in those 5 rented mobile homes housing over 60 people. They had big plans to build a facility for 100 residents in 2025 because apparently business was booming in the Salvation through Questionable Housing Arrangement sector. The Shekinah Glory Camp was supposed to be their crown jewel, a 3-week summer program running from June 8th to the 29th of 25. Parents allegedly paid $500 to send their kids to this camp, which was advertised in Hakachin with promises of spiritual healing, featuring some teacher from Australia named Raoul Kung. The ministry's website talks about Columbus Junction being the birthplace of the first missionary to Myanmar's Chin State, which is either a weird flex or some kind of cosmic irony given what happened next. Everything went sideways when a 15-year-old kid from Texas contacted authorities saying he didn't want to be there. Victor Bwai, whose parents run the ministry, claims they treated this kid like royalty, allegedly buying him $400 shoes and showering him with clothing and gifts, but apparently material goods weren't enough to keep this teenager from calling the cops. And that single phone call triggered something massive. On June 12th of 25, law enforcement showed up in force. We're talking Louisiana County Sheriff's Office, Iowa Department of Health, or Louisiana County Sheriff's Office, Iowa Department of Health and Human Services, Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation, and Columbus Junction Police, all converging on this operation like it's the raid scene from a Netflix documentary, which it probably will be. They hit two locations, the main camp at 10431 Q Avenue in Columbus Junction and another property in nearby Fredonia, where the ministry housed people. The scale of this response tells you authorities weren't messing around. You don't mobilize that many agencies because one homesick teenager wants to go home. The logistics of moving 88, removing 88 children are mind-boggling. They loaded these kids into the Wapello School District buses and transported them to the Wapello Methodist Church, where child protection workers were waiting. Catch being a kid at a Bible camp one minute and the next you're being evacuated by cops to a different church. The whole operation was coordinated with local organizations, including the Community Ambulance Service and food pantry, suggesting authorities expected this to be a major undertaking requiring serious resources. Now, here's where Victor Bwai's testimony or defense gets interesting. And by interesting, I mean absolutely bonkers. He insists they never harmed that child and that they loved him, which is exactly what someone who definitely didn't do anything wrong would say, right? He claims parents signed consent forms and knew what was happening, that boys and girls were separated and that children were kept away from adults. But if everything was so above board, why did a multi-agency task force descend on your camp like it was harboring El Chapo? The trafficking investigation angle is what elevates us from weird religious camp to holy crap, what are they doing territory. Human trafficking isn't a charge authorities throw around lightly. In Iowa, federal trafficking cases have resulted in sentences ranging from 12 to 22 years in prison. It isn't a whoops, we forgot to get the proper permit situation. For authorities to use the T word, trafficking, they must have had credible intelligence suggesting something seriously messed up was happening. Christian teenagers from across the nation allegedly attended this camp, according to Bwai. Someone was bringing children across state lines to a camp run by an organization that mixes addiction recovery with religious instruction, with housing a bunch of people in mobile homes. It's more red flags than a communist parade. State Representative Taylor Collins confirmed by June 16th that all children had been reunited with their families, which is the first piece of good news in this whole mess. Most kids don't even need overnight foster placement, suggesting authorities move fast once they realize what they were dealing with. But the investigation continues, and notably, no arrests have been made yet. In the world of trafficking investigations, that usually means prosecutors are building an airtight case rather than rushing to slap cuffs on people. The Columbus Junction community response has been fascinating to watch. We got local organizations jumping in to help during the raid, showing the town has developed solid support system for its refugee population. But you also have to wonder about the oversight here. How does a ministry operate for 7 years, housing 60-plus people in mobile homes, running programs for children and adults with addiction issues, without anyone asking hard questions? The Burmese community in Columbus Junction faces unique challenges that might have created perfect conditions for something like this to fly under the radar. We're talking 27 different dialects being spoken in a small town, massive language barriers, and a population that's already vulnerable due to their refugee status and limited economic opportunities beyond that Tyson plant. Many are deeply religious Christians who fled persecution, so a church-based organization would have instantly rang of credibility and trust. Let's talk about the precedent here, because America has seen this movie before. Remember in 2008, the raid on the FLDS yearning for Zion Ranch in Texas? Authorities removed 439 children based on abuse allegations. But appellate courts later ruled the state hadn't met its burden for emergency removal. Most kids went back to their families within 7 weeks. However, and this is the big however, the criminal prosecutions that followed resulted in 11 convictions, including Warren Jeffs getting life in prison. The lesson? Emergency removals are one thing. But if there's evidence of actual crimes, people are going to prison. The addiction recovery angle is particularly troubling. Legitimate addiction treatment requires licensed professionals, evidence-based methods, and strict oversight. You can't just throw Bible verses at substance abuse and call it treatment. If the kingdom ministry was presenting itself as addiction recovery, while actually just warehousing vulnerable people in crowded conditions, that's not just ineffective, it's potentially criminal exploitation of people at their lowest point. The financial aspect deserves scrutiny, too. At $500 per kid for a three-week camp, the ministry stood to make some serious money from this summer program alone. And whatever they were charging the residents in those mobile homes, and suddenly this ministry looks like a profitable enterprise. The fact they were planning to expand to a 100-person facility suggests someone saw dollar signs in desperation. Victor Bowie's claim that a teenager called authorities because he didn't want to attend camp is either the understatement of the century or a desperate attempt to minimize what happened. When law enforcement mobilized a multi-agency raid, they're not responding to typical teenage complaints. They're responding to someone and something that triggered serious alarm bells. As we wait for more details to emerge from this ongoing investigation, Columbus Junction faces uncomfortable questions. The town's transformation from typical rural Iowa to a major Burmese refugee center happened fast. Tyson brought in those first 400 workers and word spread. Now you've got multiple Chin Baptist churches, Burmese-owned shops on Main Street, and organizations like Embark trying to help people navigate life in America while working brutal meatpacking jobs. The investigation also highlights how religious authority can be weaponized in immigrant communities when you're dealing with people who fled religious persecution, who are trying to maintain their faith and culture in a foreign land, and religious leaders who speak your language and share your background has tremendous power. David Chung Nguyen positioned himself as someone who could help with addiction, provide housing, and save souls. There's a potent combination for people who might not know where else to turn. Here's another disturbing part. The ministry operated since 2018, advertising in Hakachin, targeting their own community. They knew exactly who to reach and how to reach them. The camp materials emphasized connections to missionary history, playing on religious sentiment and cultural pride. This wasn't some random operation. It was carefully crafted to appeal to specific vulnerable populations. The COVID-19 pandemic had already hit this community hard. NPR reported how the virus tore through the meatpacking plant workforce, and some locals expressed anti-refugee sentiment during the crisis. Now add this raid to the mix. You've got a community under intense scrutiny, dealing with trauma on multiple levels while trying to maintain their foothold in America. For the Cheeky and Glory camp, now it sits empty. Its plans for spiritual healing and addiction recovery suspended indefinitely. David Chung Newham and his ministry face an uncertain future as investigators piece together what exactly was happening behind the facade of religious charity. And 88 children are back with their families, hopefully safe, but undoubtedly confused about why their summer camp ended with a police evacuation. The story's not over, not by a long shot. Trafficking investigations take time, especially when they involve multiple jurisdictions and potentially vulnerable witnesses who might be reluctant to cooperate due to language barriers, immigration status concerns, or religious pressure. But if authorities found enough evidence to justify this massive operation, you can bet they're building something. Something very significant in this case. The intersection of refugee vulnerability, religious authority, and alleged trafficking creates a perfect storm of exploitation opportunities. The Kingdom Ministry allegedly saw that vulnerability and built something on it. Mobile homes full of people seeking help. Children shipped in for summer camp, all under the banner of Christian charity. They picked the right community to target, people who might not complain to authorities, who might not know their rights, who desperately need the services being offered. But here's the thing, that 15-year-old from Texas did note a call from help, and authorities did respond, and 88 children are now safe. Sometimes the system works, even when it takes a while to catch up to what's happening in the shadows. The Shekinah Glory Camp raid serves as a stark reminder that predators often hide behind religious authority and charitable intentions. They target the vulnerable. Refugees, addicts, children, people desperate for help and hope. And sometimes, thankfully, they get caught. We'll be watching this case closely as it continues to develop. Love to hear your thoughts on this case. Let me know in the comments section on YouTube what your thoughts are. And if you're listening to us on a podcast platform, be sure to press subscribe and check us out on YouTube. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. There's a lot more, I'm sure, on this that is to come. We will keep you updated. Again, let me know your thoughts in the comments. My name is Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening and watching. We will talk again real soon.
Craving non-stop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.